Hey, it's Pat and Jeffy. On the podcast today, President Trump outlines his immigration reform plan, talking about a merit-based system, and we want the best and brightest immigrants to come here. Democrats, obviously, not happy about that, but they never will be.
Of course.
Things are so bad at the border, they're sending the TSA there so that immigrants can be felt up and molested.
With the TSA coming to the border, it's solved. It is solved.
It's fixed, man. Now it's fixed. Because I don't want to get felt up at the border or the airport. So maybe that'll stop people from coming. I don't know. In hour two, we, of course, spent the time with Bill O'Reilly. And
fascinating to hear Bill's thoughts on the immigration plan and also the Democratic presidential run for the nomination.
He also talked about due process and Brett Kavanaugh along the way, and his thoughts on President Trump's immigration are fascinating. And then we also talked about the SAT scores, soon going to be weighted to compensate for perceived advantages or disadvantages that students have. Amazing stuff. While we're talking about a merit-based immigration plan, we're talking about a non-merit college entrance exam. It's amazing. Also, a trans man that gave birth to a baby, and that surprised the hospital staff there. Kind of surprises me, too.
Really?
Until you find out it was actually a woman who gave birth.
No, but it was a man.
Yeah, you're right. It was and Alyssa Milano on how pro-life she is. All fascinating stuff. And all today on the podcast. It's Pat and Jeffy today for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. President Trump kind of went through his proposal for immigration reform yesterday. Here's some of what he discussed. You have
our plan achieves two critical goals. First, it stops illegal immigration and fully secures the border. And second, it establishes a new legal immigration system that protects American wages, promotes American values, and attracts the best and brightest from all around the world. Importantly, we're already building the wall, and we should have close to 400 miles built by the end of next year, and probably even more than that. It's going up very rapidly. Every year, we admit 1.1 million immigrants as permanent legal residents. These green card holders get lifetime authorization to live and work here and a five-year path to American citizenship. This is the most prized citizenship anywhere in the world by far.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got that part right. That's for sure. And for him to say that we want the best and brightest, how dare he? Seriously, the Democrats are taking issue with that.
I know.
They don't want the best and brightest. Hey, we've had a long record of bring us your poorest, your destitute. We want only people who have clothes that are ragged and no skills and that can't speak English. That's what we want here.
And some states are getting them.
Yeah.
California.
Oh, we're getting
the governor is pardoning felons.
Yes.
So, yeah. There you go.
As far as whether the border wall is already being built, I don't know. I see conflicting reports on that they haven't started yet or they've barely started.
Over 400 miles.
But he claims 400 miles by next year. That'd be great.
And maybe more.
And maybe more.
Yeah.
If that's true, that's great.
I hope it is.
I hope it is, too. I hope it is. But much of this proposal, I think, is really good. As he said, right now, about 12% of immigrants are admitted based on employment and skills. So about 12% of immigration right now in the United States is merit-based. How can we be expected to continue that rate?
I don't know.
It's insane.
I don't know.
66% are admitted based on family connections. Why? And that to Democrats, that's a good thing.
Yes. Once you're in, I mean, that's the point, right? Once you're in, then the rest can come.
So if you have a second cousin twice removed in Manawa, Niarawa, come on in. Yeah,
it's all yours.
Bring them up.
Come on.
Bring them up.
I'm in.
Well, my mailman has a friend whose uncle wants to bring him in.
Come on in.
That's kind of
bring
the way
him
it's,
in.
It's sort of the way it's done
I
now.
I know.
Now the administration wants to flip those numbers. So it will be 57% based on merit, 33% based on family connections. That makes more sense. That's probably still not maybe not even the right formula, but it makes more sense than what we currently have.
But of course, that's bad.
Oh, of course, to the Democrats, it's absolutely catastrophic. So we want to recruit top talent. Microsoft is continually saying we don't have enough to fill the positions that need to be filled in technology. So good, let's flip it around and let's bring more skilled people into the United States. I do like the focus on first of all securing the border, and he did talk about that, and that's a really important part of the plan. But also focusing on legal immigration.
Yes.
We want to stop the illegal flow, and we want to bring here people here that want to do things the right way, and we'll add something to the country. Every nation on earth asks something of the people who are trying to immigrate there. All right, what are you going to bring to us? What are you going to do for us? It's a legitimate question. It's an important question. You can't just say, okay, come here and we'll do everything for you that we possibly can. That's not the way it's supposed to work. It's just the way it has been working.
Sure has.
And, I mean, working. I use that word loosely. So, supposedly, the average yearly wage of legal immigrants right now is $43,000. If we go to this system, supposedly they would then increase the average income to $126,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And the average yearly wage of all immigrants would rise to around $96,000. How could you not want that for the people that are immigrating?
No kidding.
Here? How could you not want that? No, I'm sorry. I want them to continue to make $7 an hour, and I'm going to fight this tooth and nail every step of the way. No! How could you not want that? And the thing is, and we should have been talking about this from the beginning, when they come the way they do, and you don't ask anything of them, and you don't encourage them to learn the language because that's somehow hateful, that's somehow racist, that's somehow xenophobic.
I mean, we're in trouble for encouraging them even just to have rudimentary knowledge of English.
Exactly. Yeah. And so they stay at the bottom rung of society, and there's nowhere they can go. Because if you speak only Spanish or Norwegian or German or whatever it is when you come here, you're not going to succeed in America. You have to learn English in order to get up the social ladder and the employment ladder. It's mandatory, really. If you don't, you're going to be stuck in a crappy job your entire life here. Why would you want that for them? I don't. So you encourage them to learn the language. And when you do, they can have a chance to succeed here.
I'm all for them making $100,000 a year.
Me too. I think that's great. But Democrats don't, because then they're not dependent on the Democrats. If they start making $126,000 a year, they don't need the Democrats when they're handouts. So they don't want this. They do not want this. So President Trump trying to end the chain migration situation. He's frequently called for an end to the visa lottery program, something this seeks to do. It'd be replaced by a new Build America visa program that would recognize extraordinary talent and people with professional and specialized vocations, including exceptional students. What the plan doesn't do, though, is cut back on immigration at all.
Right.
And that would be a nice component to this. Limit, a little bit more than we do now, because we allow, a million a year legally? And then another 1.2 million are coming in illegally this year? That's unacceptable. So we're going to have immigration at a rate of 2 to 2.5 million every year? I don't think that's sustainable.
It can't be.
So the plan doesn't deal with that. It also doesn't deal with people who are already here illegally, including the Dreamers. But President Trump said it does close loopholes so that gang members and criminals are inadmissible, and it would stop frivolous asylum claims. One of the things they're proposing, and I think this is really good, you can't claim asylum at the border. Sorry, you got to go to an embassy or a consulate for that.
I'm okay with that.
I think that's imperative because when you're at the border, how do we know that you're here claiming asylum, right, that you're in danger in your home country? We don't.
No way to know.
But if you go to a consulate in Guatemala or Honduras or wherever you're from, you know, you can look into it then. Go to the embassy. Do it there.
Yeah.
Every country on earth just about has an American embassy or consulate. And that's the right way to do it. So
it does seem that is the wise thing to do.
Just
keep, if you're in trouble in your country, come to us for help.
Right.
And if it's for real, we'll help you.
Well, and they, you know, a lot of this is, well, I'm afraid of gangs. Well, then, you know, people in Los Angeles be claiming asylum all the time. And New York and every large city in America because they're afraid of gangs as well. There's plenty of gang activity in America. Can Americans claim asylum from it? No.
No.
So I don't know that we allow that. Asylum is supposed to be from oppression from the government. And so it's really tough to ascertain when you're here at the border that you've been through that. So that's one of the things we need to deal with. Also, there was no mention of the E-Verify program.
Right.
So that's an issue as well. So some, apparently, because of those two things, the lack of reducing immigration and no E-Verify, so some conservatives aren't necessarily for this. But it's not, I mean, this is just a proposal, I think. This is just kind of framework.
We've got to do something, and here you go.
Right.
Let's get this thing started.
Right. And where's your proposal, Democrats?
Thank you.
Just ollie, ollie, I'll come free is not a really good immigration plan right now. And that's all the Democrats offer is everybody come on in.
Well, that's because they hate Trump. So whatever Trump doesn't wants to try to limit, no, we don't.
And when you look back on the way they used to feel about this, you can't help but think that's true. Because they were all against just allowing the border to be wide open.
Right.
They talked about it. They voted for it. They voted for the fence in 2006 and in the 1990s. In fact, they were pretty hardcore about it. They sounded like conservatives back in the 90s.
Yes, they did. That's how far we've come.
We've come a long way.
A long way.
Yeah.
Wow.
888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. Here's how bad things are at the border, just to give you an idea. They're deploying the TSA to the border.
Wait, what?
That's how bad it is. The TSA headed for the border. We're redeploying some of them.
I would rather have them feeling up the immigrants across the border.
That'll stop it in a hurry. Yeah, you want to cross the border, you're going to get felt up by the TSA. Okay.
I don't care if you're Tony Romo or not.
Yeah, that'll shut it right down. Department of Homeland Security retasking hundreds of TSA employees to the U.S.-Mexico border to assist with the frontline immigration process in an effort to relieve some of the pressure on Customs and Border Patrol. Wow. And ICE. CNN reports 175 of the TSA's law enforcement officials and up to 400 of its security ops personnel, including a number of air marshals, are being sent to the southern border to help with efforts to deal with the immigrant flow. Wow. They're expected to commit up to 10% of their workforce to border security.
So
I've never heard of this before.
What's happening? Does that mean longer lines at the airports?
Oh, I hope so, because that'll just really be convenient for us.
Because nobody travels in the summer anyway.
No, that's
coming
right.
Coming up on summertime break.
That's right.
Nobody goes anywhere.
There is now an immediate need for more help from the TSA at the southwest border, according to a TSA spokesperson. TSA is committed to support 400 people from security ops who will be deployed in waves, similar to how they're deployed in an emergency situation. TSA at the border.
Wow.
Now it's fixed. Now it's fixed.
They're asking. This is just on volunteers for now, though. It claims that they're just asking people. You know, if you could volunteer to go to the border. So I'm sure that
the
TSA members are jumping all over themselves.
Who wouldn't want to do that? Go to the hot,
be deployed,
sticky Texas border in the summer.
I can work at DFW
at the air-conditioned airport. Oh, it's a tough choice.
What can I
do? All right, send me to the border. I really let me be out there with the mosquitoes and the flies and people throwing rocks at me. That's yeah. I think I'll go to the border. Yeah, that's not going to work.
Sounds like fun.
That's not going to work.
I don't know. I mean, I guess what comes next is just mandatory, right? You're going.
Yeah.
Your government employees, you're
going. I would think so.
Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Unless you volunteered.
Unless they choose to do the National Guard again or some other agency, some other group. Who I don't know. 888-727-BECK.
People are scary.
Yeah, they are. They can be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This will fix it. Because not only are they scary, but they're so efficient, Jeffy. I think we've all found that, haven't we?
Very much so. Yes,
they've ingratiated themselves to Americans for years now, and I think once they get to the border, you don't have a problem anymore. Speaking of problems at the border, a Dallas man previously arrested in the death of an 81-year-old woman has been charged with killing at least 11 more elderly women whose jewelry and other valuables he stole. Spokesman for the Dallas County District Attorney's Office said the 46-year-old Billy Chimmerer was indicted on 6 more counts of capital murder and the deaths of women ranging in age from 76 to 94.
The dirtbag.
So he's a Kenyan citizen, living in the United States illegally, and he's a serial killer. But don't worry about that. These are just good, decent, hard-working family people. There's nothing to worry about. Wow.
That's amazing.
What does it take? I mean, I don't know what it's going to take.
I don't know. I mean, look,
to get the Democrats to be serious about this.
I mean, I mentioned Gavin Newsom, you know, in California, he's pardoning felons and, you know, including two that were up for deportation. He's saying, oh, no, you're fine. You stay here. I mean, I don't know what can be done. Well, and I don't know what you have to do. Obviously, you know, this is probably, I hope, too far. And we're going to something.
You would hope.
Yeah.
You would like to think that there is some level.
There's a line
of criminality where they say, okay, yeah, maybe. Instead, what they say, well, the American citizens are killing people, too.
Right.
Well, yeah, but we've got enough of that, don't we? Without having Kenya's killers here as well.
Yeah, but he hasn't killed 20. So.
He may have, because they said it might be more than 11 or 12 now. 12 elderly women.
I mean, disgusting.
Really, really, really horrible. From 76 years old to 94 years old. Really sad.
Really sad.
But you don't hear anything about it.
Nope.
CNN's not talking about it. MSNBC's not talking about it. I don't know that I've even seen that story on Fox. And it, you know, it's kind of an important one.
Yeah.
These are a few of the people we'd like to prevent from coming into the country illegally. Okay?
That'd be nice.
Yeah, it would.
That'd be nice.
It's just...
And while I get it, we can't prevent all of this from not coming into the country, we can certainly attempt to do better than we have been.
Yeah, that's been President Trump's theme all along. Is we can do better than this. We can prevent some of these with the wall. We can prevent some of these by paying attention to who it is that we allow to come in. Why would you just allow everybody's family members to come into the country? It doesn't make any sense.
Makes zero sense.
Let's ask something of them. Like, I don't know, what skill do you have? What job do you have lined up? Where are you going to live? So it just makes sense. This is a pretty good start on immigration reform. And it doesn't include amnesty, which is a pretty good step in the right direction as well. But I think if the Democrats were to propose a plan, it would just go back to the same thing. The comprehensive immigration reform they've been talking about. They just want the Dreamers to all be here legally. They just want a path to citizenship for everybody else that's here, for the 11 to 20 or 25 million that are here illegally. And they'll just make the problem worse. So this is a good start from the president. 888 727-BECK. It's Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed and Jeff Fisher from Chewing the Fat. For Glenn, today and all next week here on the Glenn Beck Program.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks.
Bill O'Reilly from BillOReilly.com. Hey, Bill.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Doing well. You?
I'm the same, which is a tragedy for everyone.
Your latest column at BillOReilly.com talks about how due process is dead in America, whether it's Brett Kavanaugh hearings or with President Trump and the Mueller report. Tell us about that.
Well, it's the media's fault in a sense that you are done if anyone on the planet files an allegation against you and you're a famous person.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're finished. There's no, oh, well, maybe he didn't do it. Maybe there's an agenda on why this is happening. So the real horrible lawyers and ideologues know that now. So they target people for allegations. That's number one is what's happening. So every corporation in America now is a battery of lawyers they have to pay to fend this stuff off. You don't hear about 90% of it. And now you have lawyers advertising on radio and television and billboards. You know, if somebody did something to you, you call us and we'll give you millions of dollars. Okay. The second thing about the due process is the disgraceful performance of some U.S. senators in the Kavanaugh hearings. Now, I don't have any problem with grilling a Supreme Court nominee. It has to be done. But these people flat out said, oh, you're guilty of something you did in high school, even though we don't have a shred of evidence and nothing has emerged since. You're guilty. You did it. You and your family should be disgraced. Mm-hmm. That was Kamala Harris. That was Cory Booker. That was Dianne Feinstein, who behind the scenes actually engineered this whole thing.
Disgraceful.
To her everlasting disgrace. Mm-hmm. And so when you have that combination of elected political officials who do not recognize due process combined with the media, you're in trouble. And I think the country's in trouble.
Is there anything we can do to stem that tide?
I don't know. I mean, individual Americans, I think if you ask them and they just listen to what my explanation was, would say, yeah, O'Reilly's right. Because this could happen to me or my son or daughter or my husband or whatever.
Yeah, it's frightening.
And now I'm going to have to go out and pay $200,000 to an attorney to defend me against charges that are fallacious. The whole thing stems around the affidavits. If you file something against someone, you have to sign an affidavit under perjury, but the system does not prosecute that. So therefore, it's a free fire zone. You can lie about anybody. You can say anything you want. And the media, I think the media is basically falling apart in America. I don't think people know how bad it is. We see the surveys and the polls that 70% of Americans don't trust the media. But I watch cable news ratings every night. I see network news ratings, what's happening in the morning and late night. I did it on BillOReilly.com. We did a segment last night on the collapse of late night viewership across the board on the three networks. Nobody watches those shows anymore. And I think that people are saying enough. And that's what you can do. I mean, if you are an American and you see something unfair, do not watch the network that's doing it and fire off a letter to the senator. It won't matter, but at least you're doing something.
Yeah, right. It's really tough because as conservatives, we have that mindset where I'm not going to participate in a boycott. I'm not going to get out on the streets and protest. Whereas the left does all that kind of stuff, and it's really effective.
It has been effective.
So we kind of just have ceded all of that to them, and we sort of just sit back and take it every time somebody's wrongly accused or
But here's the deal: you're right. The right in America doesn't have an organized media matters or move on or power of change or color of this or they don't have that. All right.
And listen to all that you just listed off. I mean, they've got so many of those organizations.
And these organizations have millions of dollars, all right, to mobilize boycotts, to threaten sponsors, to do whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. A lot of that money comes from the George Soros Foundation, as people probably know. So they have millions of dollars to go smear people, threaten people, intimidate people, extort people. Nothing like that exists on the right. But I'm telling Americans that it shouldn't. You don't get down in the mud with these people. What should happen is that there should be an organization to expose the boycotters, to tell people exactly who they are, what they're doing, what sponsors are giving into it.
Right.
You know, you guys may remember years ago, there was a big, fierce controversy over some corporations telling their employees not to say Merry Christmas. Remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I, your humble correspondent, turned that around by naming the corporations that were doing it. And as soon as I did that, those corporations stopped.
Back down.
People weren't going to Christmas shop in the stores.
Right.
So that's the way to do it. Unfortunately, I called a couple of conservative groups that handle pro bono law cases, and they were frightened to do it because they didn't want these groups to come after them. And they wouldn't do it. I'm not going to name them. That's not fair. But I tried to mobilize some of these crews and saying, look, you got to set up an arm to defend people under fire.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't do it because they didn't want these people to come after them.
Unbelievable.
It sure is.
That's how powerful this is.
Yeah.
If you look at history, and you know I write the killing books and all that. If you look at history, all the totalitarian regimes have done this, have demonized groups and selected people for punishment, all of them.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening in America. And there's nobody doing anything about it.
Yeah, the road is long. I mean, you talk about voting with your eyes and with your remotes and don't watch the channels and don't do that. But when they have the money that they're getting from whatever sources they're getting it from, they can still stay alive and keep on the air. Whereas a number of conservative channels may have to go dark. And so it's a long battle.
The worst part about it is that the boycotters and the extorters and the people who are peddling false allegations are propped up by the very liberal media. So the New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, NBC News, this kind of stuff props them up. There are no investigations into Media Matters or Move On or Color of Change. None of that. They're not looked at. Everybody knows this is happening. So where is the press exposing this kind of extortion? It's extortion when you go to Mercedes-Benz and say, if you don't pull your spot from the Fox News Channel or whatever radio program, then we're going to send out a email blast on Facebook or however they do it to 5 million people saying don't buy Mercedes cars. That's extortion. All right, now I've gone and talked to lawyers. You could make a RICO case against Media Matters. You could do that and file federal criminal charges.
That would be fantastic.
But again, who's going to do it?
I don't know.
Nobody.
I mean,
apparently nobody.
Yeah, they're not evil enough in people's eyes overall, right? I mean, they're building those RICO cases against drug manufacturers. They're not going to do it against Media Matters.
In the social civil war, okay, the far left progressive movement is far more weaponry and is far more ruthless than the other side.
Yeah.
And now you're basically seeing people being destroyed before your eyes. Kavanaugh survived by one vote, Collins. And I saw her in California a couple of weeks ago, and she requested to speak to me. And I just said, you know, Senator, I got to tell you, you saved that family. I mean, put everything else aside. You saved those people because of what was happening. She knew.
Mm-hmm.
She knew. All right. And so Americans are watching this spectacle, And again, you know, you say, what can we, the regular people, do? Not much, other than walk away from the vehicles that are doing this.
And you have to be.
And that's happening.
You have to be willing to do that, though.
Yes, you do.
You have to be willing to walk away. And
when I saw Kamala Harris and Cory Booker declare for the presidency, I said to myself, there's no way on earth that I, as an American citizen, not a commentator, not a purveyor of BillO'Reilly.com, none of that, would vote for that kind of a person to lead this country.
Yeah.
I mean, you can scream about how bad Trump is or how good he is or whatever, you know, but these people, in full view of the nation, basically said, blank you, Constitution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Blank you.
Well, it's good that you have another.
This guy due process on anything.
It's good that you have another 21 or 22 candidates to pick from other than those two now,
Bill. Well, they're not going to, you know. Kamala Harris got an outside chance to get the VP nod with Biden, but I think it's going to be this Stacey Abrams. But
yeah, she's mad about people talking about that, too. Because Kamala Harris was saying, you know, her people were saying that it was embarrassing to think about her being the vice president to Joe Biden.
I don't even pay attention to those campaigns because they're not going anywhere, you know, except for Bill de Blasio. I know he's going to rock it up and be
all right.
Absolutely.
I live in New York. I know how bad this guy is. My God.
It's amazing that he has the ego to think that he could actually. I mean, what, did three people show up for him in Vegas when he appeared there recently?
A dozen, maybe. That's tops.
Unbelievable.
For de Blasio, it's all about the money. He gets to keep all the campaign funds that idiots might donate to him. That's what it's about. He's got nothing else to do. New York City's falling apart. Everybody hates him. Cops turn their back on him. I mean, it's really, really a disaster.
Yeah.
If you don't live in New York, say a prayer of thanks, all right, because that city is falling apart. I live 20 miles away from Manhattan. It takes me in 1 hour and 45 minutes to drive, not in the rush hour, to get into that city. Everything is falling apart. Did you ever see that movie Escape from New York?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it is. I mean, I saw Snake Plissken the other day in Times Square. I said, Snake, how you doing, man? How do you get out of here? Can you get me out of here?
All right, more with Bill O'Reilly. We've got to ask him about the president's speech on immigration yesterday and much more. Coming up in 60 seconds. It's Pat and Jeffrey for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program, talking with Bill O'Reilly. Bill, I want to get your thoughts on what the president had to say on immigration. But we were talking about, first of all, we were talking about Kavanaugh a few minutes ago and his nomination process. What are your thoughts on his rulings so far? And some people are already worried that he might be a bust for conservatives.
You know, I don't evaluate rulings like that on an ideological basis. I kind of independent guy, and I look at how he bases his decisions on the law and the Constitution and what it says. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, I don't know yet. I don't know yet. When I saw the abortion thing in Alabama, I told my viewers last night on BillO'Reilly.com, I said, don't get excited because I don't think the Supreme Court is going to uphold this law.
Oh, I don't either.
Oh, no way.
I don't either.
Right. There's only one guy that would vote for it, and that's Clarence Thomas. So I think Kavanaugh wants to send a signal like John Roberts does that he's not in anybody's pocket.
I think so, too.
Whether that harms the nation down the road, we have to wait and see.
Yeah, this is a bold move for Alabama.
Yes.
And they're trying to force this issue with the Supreme Court.
It's payback.
Yeah.
It's payback from the idiot Virginia governor actually saying to the American public, you know, even after the baby's born, we might put it to death. And then Andrew Cuomo, a villain of unbelievable lengths, passing this law that says you can have an abortion at any time for any reason. Well, once the pro-life community saw those two things, they said, we'll get a little payback.
Agreed. Yeah.
Right? Yep. So we may not win, but we're going to humiliate them, and we're going to go in, and we're going to send a message.
It was time to fight back.
Mm-hmm. It's not really about abortion. That's what nobody understands. It's about states' rights. That's the argument that's going to be put forth, not Roe v. Wade. They're not going to try to overthrow Roe v. Wade. They're going to try to say to the Supreme Court, look, each state has a right based upon their population's desire to regulate public health. You and the federal government do not have a right to impose public health on Alabama or Missouri or wherever. And that's in the Constitution. It's a local issue. Let us decide. That's how the argument's going to go down. But again, I don't think it's going to be successful.
Right.
Yeah, I don't either. I think you're right. The only one you could really count on to overturn Roe v. Wade, I think, is Clarence Thomas.
Yes.
I don't even know that Alito would.
You might be able to peel off Alito on the states' rights issue.
Yeah.
You might be able to do that.
But you're not getting Roberts.
You're not getting Roberts.
Yeah, right. So did you what were your thoughts on the president's unveiling of his new immigration plan yesterday?
It's all posturing. He knows it's not going to get through. You know, so there are two schools of thought here. You do it to send a message, and this is what you believe. I'm okay with that. But if you're telling the American people that there's a shred this will get passed, then you're misleading them. Nancy Pelosi's not going to allow that. Even if Trump were a little bit more moderate, which I would have been had I been president and faced with this issue, I would have said, we're going to do 50-50. We're going to do 50% humanitarian visas, and we're going to do 50% merit visas. That's what I would have done, so that you then become somebody who's not devoid of compassion, because that's what the tradition of America is. Take your downtrodden, and you come here, and then you reverse your life. The Trump administration doesn't have that philosophy in what they put forth. That was a mistake. But none of this is going to come to fruition.
He seems to be trying to sort of even balance the scale, though,
yes,
with what he just did. Because we've been doing it the other way for so long. He sort of, I think, went a little bit further than you might expect him to, just to sort of even out the playing field, maybe.
It's a campaign issue for him. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, he's got four pillars. I have a book coming up in September, The United States of Trump, where I explain how the president really sees America as a subtitle. I explain how he really sees America. First, I explain how he got there, which is only two people on earth could have done it, him and Oprah. I explain exactly how he got there. And then I explain exactly what his view of the country is. He doesn't really care about people in Honduras, and I'm not saying that as a pejorative. I mean, he just doesn't care. He knows that illegal immigration is one of the pillars of his administration.
Yeah.
He's going to run on four things, and that's one of them.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's part of his appeal, isn't it?
Because yes, it is.
Put America first. Put America and Americans first. And
absolutely.
That's what a lot of us expect of him.
He doesn't feel a moral obligation to heal the poverty in Central America and around the world.
Right.
He doesn't feel that moral obligation. He says, my moral obligation is to make sure Americans prosper first, and then we'll take a look at the others, but that'll never happen.
And it's Hondurans' job to take care of Hondurans. It's their leadership.
Yeah, but that's never going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
No, if America thrives, though, then so will Honduras down the road. Right,
I mean, Honduras will never thrive. Nicaragua will never thrive. El Salvador will never
thrive.
Okay.
Well, the cultures are so corrupt.
Yeah.
All right. It's like Mexico. Mexico is never going to be the republic that the USA is because of the culture of corruption.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That they don't enforce corruption laws. Everybody's on the take. You can't run a country like that and think you're going to prosper. And that's how these countries operate.
Bill, there seems to be a lot of saber rattling going on between the U.S. and Iran. And a lot of people are concerned about an actual, either a proxy war or an actual war. Do you have some concerns there that actual war could break out with Iran?
I think there's maybe a 1 in 5 chance there'll be any military action there.
That's a decent chance, though.
Yeah, it would be. Iran would have to make the play. So you got warships in the Persian Gulf, and you've got 500 troops or more, I guess, now in Iraq. And they would have to attack them in order for U.S. to get involved that way. I think the sanctions against Tehran are working. I mean, if I were Trump, I know what he's doing. You know, he wants to be the guy who sets the agenda for the world, not for just for the United States. And he knows that Iran is trying to cause trouble on a lot of fronts. So he's basically saying, telling them, you better knock it off. And if you don't, you're going to get hurt. So I'm kind of agnostic about this. I wouldn't provoke any military action. But if it comes, you know, it's not going to be good for Iran. That's for sure. I mean, they'll get hurt badly. But it also re-stimulate ISIS and Al-Qaeda and those people.
Yep.
Now, that's a downside.
Yeah. It's always a mess when it involves the Middle East and everything that's going on there.
No doubt about it.
It's always a mess. Speaking of which, I know you've spoken about tariffs before. What are your thoughts on the latest round of tariffs back and forth with China?
Well, it's another pillar of Trump's reelection campaign, along with the immigration, the economy.
Why does he love them so much? What is it about tariffs?
Well, I don't think he loves tariffs so much. He just basically knows there's a trade war with China. Yeah. So everybody knows there's a trade war, and it's been going on now for decades. But the American government has basically said, we don't really want to fight this war because our economy is, you know, chugging along, so we'll let them do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from the very beginning, from 1990, if you look at Trump, you know, again, I'm in a good perch to give you guys the facts on this case. If you go back and you look at Trump's public pronouncements about China, he started in 1990 saying the Chinese were hosing us economically. And they are.
And they are. Yes, they are.
People don't understand it. I'll let me put it in terms that even Glenn Beck could understand. Okay? All right. So say Bill O'Reilly makes a Band-Aid, and the Band-Aid not only stops the bleeding, but heals the cut in 2 hours.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. And it's a fabulous success in America. Everybody wants the Bill O'Reilly Band-Aid. Well, O'Reilly then looks over and goes, hey, there's 1.5 billion people in China. I want to sell some Band-Aids over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to get my product into the Chinese market, whereupon the government says, you know what? This product is unsafe. We're not going to allow it in. It's unsafe. They do that all the time to any American product that may threaten their domestic production of anything. Now, that everybody can understand, correct?
Yep.
That's been going on since JFK, all right, since 1960. Yep. And no president has confronted it. So Trump said, you know, I'm the macho man. I'm the tough guy. I'm going to do it. I'm going to break them. And we'll see if it's successful or not. But that's what's happening.
There's going to be a lot of pain in the meantime, though. I mean,
the
prices at Walmart are going up.
Well, so don't buy that.
Yeah.
I don't need any Chinese stuff. Do you need any Chinese stuff?
No. I like shopping. No. I shop at Walmart.
Some shrimp fried rice. I mean, that's all I need, and they make it in my town. I don't need a Chinese T-shirt or a hat.
A lot of Americans
do. They do.
The Americans shop at Walmart.
Wait. Yeah. Why?
Well, because it's cheaper.
There's enough American made. So what? It's maybe 35 cents cheaper. You know, take a hit for your country. I mean, anybody needs anything from China.
Is that your new poster, take a hit for your country?
Yeah, come on. Why do we need this?
I like
and
that.
And then on the farmers' stuff,
yeah.
I understand, but Trump is going to, you know, chuck money over to them. So, you know, if you're getting hurt and your products aren't moving the way they did, the federal government's going to come in and at least give you some kind of relief. As far as finances is concerned, this federal government under Donald Trump is spending more money than any federal government in history.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
This guy's a spender. Trump's a spender.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so I'm look.
Well, he believes in debt.
Yeah, the federal government, you don't want to be dependent on them. But I think they're going to help the people in the big industries that are getting hurt from the China tariffs. But the regular folks... I mean, I just don't understand what you need from China. I just don't get it.
So it sounds like you pretty much agree. You're kind of on board with the tariffs.
I think it's the only weapon we have in this Chinese economic war. And if they walk back, and I believe that's true, they did, their agreements were, what are you going to do? Just let them get away with all that stuff?
And hopefully it hurts them more than it hurts us.
But they don't care. See, that's a big difference.
That's the thing.
We actually care if our farmers get hurt.
Yeah, they
China,
don't.
They don't care.
You're right.
You know, you don't like it, I'll shoot you in the head.
That's why
it makes it a communist totalitarian regime.
That's what makes this war so hard to win, though.
That's
right.
But what Trump's calculation is that he is going to squeeze them so that there's unrest in China, so that the 1.5 billion people start to get a little teed off, just like they're
true.
Getting teed off in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
That's the calculation, and Beijing doesn't want that, because once the people start to get a little, hey, this isn't working out real well, then they got big problems over there.
Be interesting to see if that ever happens.
I
don't know. I don't know. That would take a long time.
Yes, it would. It would take a long time. But remember, in China, there's out in the hinterlands, those people are not happy. They don't have electricity. They don't have anything to eat. I mean, this is not a happy place. You go to China, you know, the big cities are bustling. Everybody else is like, we don't really have much.
So who gets more pissed off first, Americans paying higher prices or the Chinese?
You don't know. It's a calculation. But I really don't think Americans are going to scream and yell about the tariffs.
Well, not with the new Bill O'Reilly plan. Hey, take a hit for your country.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see it. I mean, the worst thing that could happen would be that it throws the economy into a recession.
Yeah,
now, if the Trump people start to see that, Kudlow's a smart guy. Kudlow's really running the operation.
Yeah, he is.
He's a smart guy, and they're watching, but they're trying to squeeze him. And if Trump can get the deal he wants, then he feels he can be reelected.
Because
he's a guy that took on China.
But if recession kicks in, then
he's in trouble.
He's done.
Yeah, big time.
He's done. Because
I don't know about done, because you know Biden is not. You know, he's not. A guy like Barack Obama is a big.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
you know,
and he's. I mean, I know that Donald Trump is what 72.
Yeah,
in his early 70s, but Biden and Sanders are all in their last half of 70s. That's going to show here soon.
That's already starting to show.
But Trump can take Biden in a debate. I mean,
I think so too. Yeah, he can.
Because Biden's all over the place, and you know, Biden doesn't think there's a China problem, and you're looking at him like going, "What?" So the far left doesn't like Biden. They don't want him. And African Americans, that's the reason that Trump won.
Very
true. 800,000 African Americans didn't come out.
You say that, but those numbers for Joe Biden seem awful good.
Yeah, it's his crew, though. That's his crew. Okay. Well, who else are they going to pick? Beto? Beto that lives in El Paso, and he doesn't think there's a problem on the border.
Right.
I mean, you know, hello?
Yeah.
You know,
it's a bad group.
it's a
bad group.
All of these people, and I don't say this with any ideology at all. Bernie Sanders, socialist, fine. But all of them are so weak when it comes to problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
They're so weak.
There's no fixing.
Right. All they would do is bring in this crazy theory that's never worked anywhere. Bernie Sanders knows he's not going to be president. He knows that his far-out socialistic view is never going to be accepted. But what else does he have to do? What else does Bernie Sanders have to do? He lives in Vermont. Have you ever been to Vermont?
I have.
It's a pretty state, but all you can do is walk around. You get a Ben and Jerry's, you walk around. That's it. That's all Bernie has to do. This is fun. He gets on a private jet. He goes, oh, I'm a Murray billionaire. All right, it's fun. So he gets a pack of dough. He gets all the money. He gets to keep all the campaign fund money.
I mean, that's really why they're all jumping in anyway, right? They all see a path to a bank account.
And that is a story that's unreported.
Right.
That all of these people are in it because they get money. All right?
Right.
Money. Bill de Blasio knows that no one, even his wife, will vote for him. No one will vote for him. He'll get no votes. Zero votes.
Not even his kids?
No.
No.
They don't like him. They don't want him. They live in New York City, too. They're going, can't you fix anything? Anything. Just fix anything. He can't. So it's all about money.
Yeah.
All right. Bill O'Reilly for BillO'Reilly.com. You got the book, United States of Trump, comes out when? September?
September 24th. And right now, we want everybody to be nice to Dad and Granddad and get them the Killing series. Got 8 killing books out, including the latest one, Killing the SS, big bestseller, as you may know.
And you've had a couple of those.
Coming up. Mm-hmm. Go on in. I'll sign them for your dad and granddad if you want.
Awesome.
Nice.
Got lots of good stuff.
Okay. Great. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for having me in, guys.
Talk to you next week.
Right.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and you're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. If you like what you're hearing on this show, make sure you check out Pat Gray Unleashed. It's available wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.